This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I came up with a new cat nickname, everyone. Ooh. Chonquistador. Do with that what you will. Thank you. Feel free to use it.
It's good. I'm Brandy Posey, and somebody zap me. That's the mask bronding with his new improv team.
Oh, my God.
I'm Tess Barker, and does anyone remember where I parked?
This is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess. We got a show for everyone. That's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Wow, welcome.
Oh, shit.
Monday, fun day.
Monday, fun day. By the way, this weekend we're going to be in Boise, Idaho doing shows. So if you live there, come out and see us.
Yeah.
Stand-up show Saturday night. That's going to be super fun.
Yeah.
Then we're doing a live podcast on Sunday.
Yeah. And then we're doing a podcast workshop after that. So if you want to learn from the pros.
You guys know how professional we are from this podcast. We get it out somehow every single Wednesday.
And we've done it for a long time.
If you want to learn how to do this, and you live in, it's Boise.
Oh my God, I fucked it
Boise.
Up. Boise.
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 Boise. Boise. Okay, I'm fucking it up. We'll have to bring
Let's bring our guests so they can actually
tell us how to pronounce it. They have a great podcast called Three Swings, all about baseball. They're going to be on the road a bunch, coming to a city near you, maybe. Rhea Butcher.
What's up? It's Boise.
Boise.
Yeah. Like Boise.
Yeah, Boise.
Oh, okay. Like high C, but boy.
Boys. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. What's up, friends? It's great to see you. It's been so long,
I know.
I'm so glad to be here.
I know. Welcome.
Those were great jokes.
Oh, thanks.
Oh. Great jokes. Love the new stuff.
It's really hard when you sit here and you know it's a bad joke and the guest is just staring. You know, it's always weird to be a podcast guest when you have to wait for the intro. And, like, I feel so bad when it's just us saying some garbage.
I loved it. Yeah, I had a great time.
Chonuncle, what was the name?
Chonquistador.
Chonquistador. Like chonk.
Yeah.
I got it. Does anybody know the genesis of chonk?
I think it's like chunk. It's like a cuter chunk. It's a chunk.
But, but it just like somebody said it on the internet one time and then it took off.
Like, just like chonk.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
You can't help but like.
Oh, I mean, I get the inflection. I just am wondering like where it came from.
I think it's kind of like.
Etymology, if you will, of chonk.
I think if I had to guess, it's like the cat version of badonkadonk.
All right.
Ka-chonk-a-chonk.
Well, have you guys ever looked up why Cisco said she had dumps like a truck?
Oh my God, I want to know.
No, I do. It's like his idea that like a dump truck backing up.
It's
going like beep, beep. Like it's so non sequitur. It makes no sense, but it's also like, dumps like a truck.
Also, it doesn't
rhyme. Like takes a shit.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't rhyme with what, which is what he rhymes it with.
What?
It.
Yeah. What?
Thighs like what? Baby, your butt. You could have easily found another noise.
Yeah.
Instead of truck.
Tonka,
but you know what? I'm glad he
did. It's a hut.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. He could have done slut, so I'm glad he did truck.
That's true.
I mean,
that's
all right. True. Okay, Tess, you bring up a great point.
Very good point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, because like, is that song on K-Earth 101 yet?
Probably.
When did?
It's getting there.
When did the song come out?
It's crazy to me because like that song. I
feel like that song is. Oh, sorry, Tess.
That song to me is like my high school senior trip in Puerto Vallarta, like at Senior Frogs, and it's crazy that that's becoming like a vintage piece of Americana.
Yeah, I mean, it's that Nelly record came out 20 years ago the other day. the, you know,
the other day.
20 years ago, the other
day. I will
day.
Say I was just at a wedding over the weekend and they did play the thong song. So.
Great.
Oh yeah, it's still out there in these streets.
Yeah, I think it is one
golden
of those
golden oldie.
It does. It is like a yeah. You feel it makes you feel good.
It's
you know?
Uplifting. I mean, it sounds great until you really listen to it and then you're like, oh god.
Released February 15th, 2000.
Oh wow, millennial.
The day after it Valentine's really Day.
We didn't even celebrate the. We didn't celebrate the 20-year anniversary.
We all missed that.
Nobody even brought it up.
Cisco, I'm so sorry.
We bring up such dumb shit on the internet that's primed to be brought up on Twitter, but we were fighting about something else.
No,
I would have much rather been just reminiscing on thongs. I bet I was wearing a thong that day.
Well, this is interesting because I looked, when did the thong come out? Because I am tired, so I typed in that search first, which was not the answer that I was looking for. But the thong was invented in 1939 in New York at the World's Fair.
Oh my god, that booth must have been amazing.
Yeah.
Exactly. They always had like elaborate displays, so do you think they had like a giant thong?
Well, this is interesting. New York Mayor Fiorella LaGuardia ordered the city's nude dancers to cover themselves, and the thong was invented to just barely do the job.
Love it.
So that's where the thong came from.
American ingenuity.
Yes, exactly.
It was like that little strip.
Yeah,
it's gonna.
We did it then.
We're gonna need to still see those titties. So.
Because I was gonna say, there's no way you could need a thong under like a big petticoat.
No.
Well, you definitely don't want panty lines showing through your petticoat.
That's true. Oh, God, the shame. It'd be the talk of the town. I did, like, I mean, I didn't twerk because I don't know how to do that, but I shook my ass a little bit when the thong played.
Sure.
And I went into the bathroom and I was like, leaving, and this girl had to help me, you know, do her jumpsuit up. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, what side are you on? Which bride or the groom? And I was like, brides. And she was like, oh, you're the brides. Well, when you were out there dancing, your butt was really. And I was like, huh. And I was like, okay. And I was like, yep, well, you know, you got to show it off. And that's like all I said. And I think she just meant my ass was coming out. But I was like, I don't know. I was just like, I'm leaving this conversation.
Yeah. Why did it matter what side you were on?
I don't know. Maybe she expected it to be the groom's because. I showed you a picture of the groom's side. They were all very frat boy-esque. Right. So maybe she just assumed that I was from that line.
There is a man holding a Solo cup in a way I have not seen in 15 years.
The way he was drinking just was like, just like this like, that overhand
shit.
Thing.
The MySpace?
Yeah. Total MySpace.
And like he...
But like a man in a suit.
He had a scar on his head during the wedding that he did not have the day before. So some shit went down.
Bachelor party before.
Shit went down the night before for sure.
You got to space those out.
Yes.
People put their bachelor parties.
No, they had already had one, but they didn't care. They were
having another.
They were having.
It's easy to overdo it the night before the wedding because everyone's in town.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everyone's excited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you still don't want to get into scar territory, though.
You certainly don't.
I mean, that guy was no matter what was going to happen, that guy was showing up with blood on his face.
I had a scar at my prom from playing Ultimate Frisbee the day before.
Yikes.
And I had gotten fake nails for the second time in my life, and I like caught a Frisbee but caught my face. Didn't let it go, though. Still landed that point from my team. And I was missing like 3 fake nails and I had a scar on the side of my face and I was like, well, this is probably what I should look like at prom.
As you are.
Yeah. And then we built a town out of Lincoln Logs at my house after prom and we lit it on fire and danced around it. Yeah.
So. I got evicted from a hotel room.
Perfect.
After my date, I caught my date making out with someone else. Prom was fun.
I don't remember anything.
Shouldn't go down.
I was the only one of my friends that had a credit card when we went to prom, so I put the after party for both of the rooms on my card. And then obviously the cops came because there was like a bunch of kids on drugs. And then I had walked in on my date making out with someone else. And while that was happening, the cops came in and were like, "We're looking for Teresa Barker, Teresa Barker." And like it was,
Did you have to pay extra or anything? Is there an extra fee for cops showing up to us?
I think I just had to pay for the rooms and we got kicked out at like midnight.
Right.
So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a prom.
It's a prom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll happen.
Yeah.
It's going to be some drama going down at some point somewhere.
Exactly.
Feels like
I think I just fell asleep.
Yeah.
I think I went to prom and then I came back and then I fell asleep.
No after party?
Sounds pretty nice.
No.
No. Not at all.
We went to, like, the school had one to, like, so people, like, wouldn't drunk drive and stuff mm-hmm. afterwards. And we went to that for a little bit because when I was a junior, I went with a senior. And I remember them having a plate of Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets and then the biggest chocolate-covered strawberries I'd ever seen. And I was like, guys, we gotta go because it was so good. And then everyone was stoked we went because the chocolate-covered strawberries were fucking huge. They were like, this big, the size of my hand. I don't know where they came from.
Yeah, heaven.
I still think about them sometimes.
I bet. I'm thinking about them right now.
Delicious. I love a chocolate-covered strawberry. Vons was just making them in the Vons.
Albertsons was doing the same.
A little bit too romantic for a grocery store.
I like it. More hair nuts. Is this, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
more hair nuts.
Yeah.
Is this like someone who gets hired specifically or is it just a deli person doing it?
It looked like somebody that came in from another area.
Okay.
So this area.
Is like a florish.
Yeah.
Like, hello, I'm a special strawberry dipper.
Probably the florist lady, because nobody's buying flowers at Vons anyway, is like, oh, this is the one week that I can also do something else besides just stand next
to
the
flowers.
I
drive by flower shops and they're like, how the fuck do any of these places stay open?
I assume they're all fronts for something.
But
I
like LA's full flowers. Of fronts then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I still, you know what I mean? It just seems like...
I mean, I've
like
bought flowers
often.
At places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not... Sure. It's not.
You're not keeping them in business.
I'm not keeping them in business.
No.
Yeah.
I did go past. Do you know the flower shop that's on the corner of Western and Franklin?
I love that flower
shop. If you are going to buy flowers, you should buy them from there.
A good spot.
Like, because they do such a great job putting a bouquet together. It's
when you
really
walk
beautiful.
Into somebody, does somebody nice. Say hello, welcome to my,
my
secret
garden?
And then they open a little
and
door.
They go, and it sounds like a PBS show.
And that song just plays every time you open the door.
Wait, what is there a show called The Secret Garden?
Huh?
What are you?
That's the flower shop's name.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you guys were referencing a TV show. I hadn't seen.
No, we were just really painting the picture.
We just had an old moment. I was just at dinner with family, and like, my patience was wearing very thin because they were all being very old.
Sure.
It was like took them half an hour to look at their menus.
Oh.
And I was like, order a drink for the love of God. I was going insane. And the lady kept coming over and they would just like not even look at her. I'm like, say something to her. And I felt really bad because I asked them to turn the music down. It was really loud when we came in. And I was like, I'm
sorry.
So
you were being the old person.
I was like, I'm sorry, they're old. They can't hear me. You threw your whole family under the bus.
Can you
turn this down? And then my mother also requested, and I felt very, really bad. I was like, God damn it.
And I had a real old moment with my dad earlier. I was talking on the phone because he called me out of nowhere. And he just needed me to get his Google Calendar, which he just started, onto his Outlook.
But classic dad problem.
What he actually needed was the opposite. But like, it took us half an hour to figure it to get him to follow the instructions. And then he was like, cool, so it'll just upload, they'll just all connect to each other. And I was like, no, that's not what's happening now. It's a one-way connection. You got to connect it the other way. And he was just freaked out. And then we hung up the phone. But I was like, I'm glad I was by a computer. Just I love that he's just like, you know how to do this just while you're in the world, right? Just fucking...
But you did, right?
But you did.
I mean, I pulled up my computer and did it, but goddamn, it was just like half an hour of being like, of telling him to click gears. Just so many gear icons.
You see the gear? Dad, do you see the gear?
Just click
upper right,
click
upper right.
There's like 9 dots. Can you click the 9 dots? And then there'll be a gear. And then scroll, just keep scrolling down.
That's why we all need those like... those sports caster.
Oh, that
you know,
would be great.
Circle things to like send to our parents. And be like, okay, right here is where you.
Oh my God. Because my mom is really, really, really bad at computers. Yeah. And I had to try to explain, like, I had to explain to her over the phone how to copy and paste something. Which is almost like explaining to like a toddler how to walk. It's like something you do
something
so naturally.
We know so well.
Yeah. But I'd be like, I was like, hey, mom, click on that word. I did. I tried. I can't do this. I can't. Where did the box go? Where did the square? Okay. Now it's a new square. I lost it.
You're
lost
basically just like navigating through somebody else's panic attack. You're just like, okay.
Truly. If yes.
You're just going to need to retype it. That's what's going to need to happen. Just do that.
The guy that invented copy and paste died recently.
Really?
Like 2 weeks ago.
Weird shit.
Dumb shit just pops. I see it and then I leave the internet and then it stays in my head.
I love that.
You don't think about that someone invented that, but like that's a pretty big one.
I mean, that's kind of a Larry Tesler.
Great name.
R.I.P. Larry.
Yeah.
Cut, copy. I don't use cut as much as I probably should.
Yeah.
Probably should.
Well, no, you copy copy because you don't want to lose it, and just in case.
Yeah. Yeah, but I do feel like sometimes I will just like copy paste, but then go back and just delete it the first time anyway.
Because extra step.
Just go for it.
I'm not trusting
Command
myself.
X.
You know what? But you're trying to honor Larry's commitment to the world, and that's what's important.
Yeah, cut is the underrated Larry Tesler invention.
I was going to say, Rhea and I were like both going to High Plains and whatever a few months ago.
Oh, yeah.
High Plains Comedy Festival. And I was like, I'm always nervous when I fly to like comedy festivals because there's other comics, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, who am I going to see? Am I going to like have to see someone I don't really want to sit next to?
Oh,
then it was Rhea and I was like, yes. And then you sat next to me and I was like, okay, yay, this is someone I like.
Yeah.
And you were so funny about the, you're saying that like people love to tuck their feet under their bag. And ever since you said that, that's all I can see. It's so funny.
One same Barbara, because I was like, oh fuck, it's gonna be on this flight.
It's always you're like, oh god,
oh god, and you saved my ass a seat. So thank you, I really appreciate that because it was a Southwest flight, and that's like that's a big deal.
It really
wait,
is.
Barbara checked in before you to Southwest flight.
I did.
Barbara. No, Barbara has.
You
a
know why? What? I've got it. Yeah, I've told you my. I'm not gonna tell you in a way.
Wait, top secret session.
Yeah, probably.
Oh,
yeah, you have. Yes, you're right. You're right.
It's a real thing, though. I know. Do need it. But,
yeah, right.
Well, I can't wait to find out what it is.
Yes, I did.
But yeah.
Guys, patreon.com/ you're going to find out how Barbara gets on a plane before Rhea.
I'm sorry I did that to you, that now you can see that. But people are obsessed with it. And it is the one thing that crosses like all gender, race, ethnicity, like all lines, is that like people just do not want to put their bag all the way underneath the seat in front of them. They will pull it out and set it on top of their feet and just like leave their feet. And I'm like, why? But why though?
Now notice it next time. You'll see.
You'll see it.
It's really weird.
All the way up. Like when you're sitting and we're about to land, like people will pull it closer.
Really?
Weird.
And, like, first of all, they've given you a space to put the bag in there.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a perfect space. Just you put your bag in there and then your feet are free.
Yeah.
Second of all, the reason they don't want you to put your fucking bag in there is you're going to kill a bunch of people if we go down, because everybody's going to fall.
Yeah.
You
know?
So like,
everyone's going to trip over. That's why they need
your dumb bag.
Maybe they want their feet to be cozy.
Yeah,
is it a cozy feet problem?
I mean, I feel like I do like to have like good access to my stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if it's kind of a pain in the ass for me to, like, get into my shit, like, I might want to read for a little bit and listen to music. So I like to have my purse, like, have the zipper close enough to easily dig in.
Oh, sure. Boy. Tess
Whoa.
Is like...
All
right. Tess is it on your bag footer.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Is it on your feet, though?
Probably. Also, I think it's also, for me, a germophobia thing. Because, to me, the top of my feet are less dirty than the plane.
So, so half of your bag is getting dirty.
Yeah, less surface area.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
question,
we've all got
though,
our thing.
Follow up about the germ thing, though.
Yes.
Because the bag has already gone through many places at this point. The bag has touched a lot of surfaces.
I get
and
it.
And yet, no, I do. I'm curious. So
this is not
moment,
an attack.
You're like, I'm going to choose the lesser of two evils, even though this thing is already coated.
Yes.
I don't want to coat it further.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, same thing. Like, I know I am very dirty once I'm boarding a plane, but I won't touch the I don't touch the shelf.
Sure,
the shelf. Well, the shelf in front of
me. I bring sanitizing wipes and I wipe the whole thing down.
If you have them, great.
Sit in a center seat. I sat down. I pulled out the things, and both the people like looked at me, and I was like, "Oh, do you guys want one?" And they're like, "No, we already wiped it down." They had like wiped the whole thing down.
Oh, nice.
Really, I don't do any of it, and I don't really get sick very much.
Yeah, neither do I.
You don't touch your face very much.
No.
I used to bite my nails. So.
Oh, I bite my nails.
I do too.
What?
Yeah,
me
too.
How do you not get sick?
That's crazy.
Immunity, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just ingesting tons of germs all the time.
I'm just, we're just, what's his fuck
strong?
From, God damn it, the dirty kid from...
Pigpen?
Schultz.
Pigpen.
A couple of real pigpens over
here. Pigpen's got a great immune system.
Yeah, he does. Nobody talks about that. He also is definitely not vaccinated. Poor Pigpen.
Oh, Pigpen.
It's like, where are your parents, man?
Yeah.
I mean, I have like feet that are usually brown from dirt, and I'm vaccinated.
Yeah, that's... But you don't have a cloud.
You can't judge a pig pin by its foot sole.
You have a point. I never see a fly around you, though,
you.
Or like yeah. a
you
cloud.
You don't have a little doodle over your head.
Yeah,
thank you.
Exactly.
A little squiggly mark.
Your clothes
just
are...
Just because I haven't recently gotten back from backpacking.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Clothes aren't also brown from the dirt in the air constantly around you.
Yeah.
Poor little
pig. I don't see a lot of people with that, but I can feel it with some of the guys I've... You know, David.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah. You can tell a pig pen. You can try to clean it up a little bit. Oh, man. I'm just looking at him now. Poor guy.
I think I would rather be pig pen than Linus.
Mm. Oh, Linus is the blankie?
Yeah.
What was his deal? He was... Oh, because his sister was...
Lucy.
Yeah, Lucy's his sister.
Yeah.
I don't really know the universe that well, to be honest with you. The Schultz.
Do you want me to tell you who you are? You're Lucy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is she the one who takes the ball away?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She gives like advice.
Pepper and Patty was my favorite.
I was watching my niece be like really bossy in the pool over the over the thing, and I was like, "Oh boy, there it is." The genes are strong, baby. We gotta take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
I'm with Rhea Butcher.
What up?
Hello.
You.
And we've got, you already referenced MySpace earlier, but we're going to give you a MySpace quiz.
No way.
Wait, you had some amazing MySpace pics back in the day, because I've seen like your hair. Your hair is, you've had some...
Wait, did you check it out?
No,
or you I feel just like mean you've, I've shared
you've,
it.
You've okay. shared.
Like, oh, you I didn't shared know if you some... did like background, you know, Oppo research. Yeah.
No. Part of being a guest on the show is we actually employ a third party agency.
Oh, got you.
Yeah, we got a file. Don't worry. Mm-hmm.
I had some serious hair on MySpace for sure.
Yeah, a lot of
I had
like
some serious
emo.
MySpace.
I wasn't emo though.
No, but you had the emo hair. Though.
I understand how this was confusing for people. I considered it to be more like art. Kid yeah. hair
okay
and emo like because I wasn't like combing it down in my face it's just like I cut my hair over a trash can and then I dyed it blue black in my mother's basement you know so like
so really not emo at
not
all.
Emo at all.
Emo at all
just like efficient and wanted black hair
cutting pieces of myself into a trash can.
You understand.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Absolutely.
So we've got a questionnaire for you.
Great.
Random questions. Just get to know you a little
so
bit
random.
Better.
So random.
These are so random. When you think of your MySpace, it might make your heart race. You should get a red face when it seemed I occur. Let's see. Which talent would you most like to have?
Which talent? So this is not like a superhero ability. This is like
no, I think like a talent that
worlds.
Any of us could
yeah
could acquire if we put in the 10,000 hours or whatever the fuck.
Musician for sure.
Oh, good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Same.
Oh, you're just doing all over musician. You gotta give us one instrument.
Well, no, I mean, yes, that I do mean that. Like being able to play, like people who can play like multiple instruments. Like
I know.
I mean, I love guitar. I love playing the guitar, but I don't. I feel like I mean, I've tried to play a bunch of different instruments, and like it just.
It's so hard.
I had
it
a
takes
lot of
so
fear.
Much time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. So
you had a lot of fear. What do you mean?
Well, I used to be. I'm working on it, but I still am very like I'm. If you guys like. We all do stand up.
Yeah.
I can do that. I can do that to a room of 10,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be like, you know, nervous because it's 10,000 people, but not nervous because I had to talk to 10,000. Just like, I want to do a good job.
Yeah.
If you guys gave me a guitar right now, I probably wouldn't be able to play it in front of you.
Yeah.
I would strum like an A and then I'd be like, that's good, right? And
yeah,
we could stop now. Because I like just, I have like a big... fear-based like mental block around playing music.
Did you play when you were a kid?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you like ever choke playing in front of people?
No, it never got well. I never. There was one time I played like trumpet and trombone. I played clarinet like in band at school, but I didn't get like proficient at it. I was always really good at like showing up, not really doing the work. You know what I mean? And then I wanted to be in a ska band so bad.
Yeah.
And there were so many in my neighborhood, but I was so terrified of what they would think of me if I made a mistake, which is how playing in a band works. Like, you have to, like, show up and do it and try. Yeah. And I just, like, went over, and I think I stood there with it in my hand and waited it out. Like, yeah. I was so terrified. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it. I could not even try.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I kind of have that nervousness with playing music too, because I think it's like, it takes me back to that high school mentality of like being judged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's also a thing that I wanted so bad that but I didn't have the talent for it at the time either, where it's like, so it's those two things kind of getting wrapped up together.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It makes you feel helpless in a weird way, because you're like, no, I can do this in other ways. Like, why isn't that skill where my other skills are?
I don't know why it's so different from stand-up, because
they're such different things.
Yeah, I have that same thing too with like singing and stuff. Like, I love singing, but it like is so much more vulnerable to me than
singing in front of people.
Is.
Oh
yeah, yeah, it's like so scary. Mm-hmm. And like, I can do carry, but that's different. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's a different thing.
It's just like, it's so much scarier.
But I think
like,
for
what?
Me, like, because I used to audition for musicals, and I'm a good dancer and a good actor, but singing was my weakest, like, suit, I guess. And so I have a lot of memories of being, like, getting callbacks and being up for a part and just shitting the fucking bed.
Yeah.
And, like, that, it's a very, like, palpable memory of just, like, eating shit on a note and just feeling everyone, like, watching me and just knowing I didn't get the part.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the difference to me, at least, about, because I have no concept of singing. Like, I like to do it, but I never got any feedback as to whether I was good or bad, so I assumed I was bad at it. But, like, I feel like with singing, there is a definite, that was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Everybody goes, yay! You know what I mean?
Totally.
But with comedy, half the room can be like, that was wrong. And the other half's like, we kind of like it.
Yeah.
And you also, the whole room can be like, that was wrong. And you could still go, yeah, but.
Yeah, yeah.
You, know, like,
you can save
be like,
the moment.
Eh, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And then people forget. Mm-hmm. Once they laugh again, they forget. And I mean, I guess, if you're a singer that's listening, you're probably thinking, like, yes, you can do that with singing, too. Mm-hmm. I can't conceptualize how that would work. Because as soon as I see people go, like, oh, God,
well,
I'm
you're
like,
in the middle
I want
of a song.
Leave.
What are you going to do? Stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We have, like, 3 minutes left.
It's like when and I hate to see this, when an ice skater falls.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that. Because it is, it's the singing is kind of like the ice skating thing. It's like you can nail the rest of the routine, but we all remember the fall.
We all saw you fall.
Totally. Yeah. It triggers a lot of, like, I used to have a big problem with perfectionism when I was younger, too. And it triggered, all of it triggers so much for me, too. Because I'm just like, if it isn't exactly right.
Yeah.
And music, it's walking that thin line.
Music's
with all that
totally like that. It gets so frustrating because it's so hard to learn, and you're like, oh, I'm not perfect, and you just get like angry.
Mm-hmm.
I also to this day will be like, I started taking drum lessons just for fun.
Nice.
And it was every time I went, I had to tell myself, like, look, man, just because you're not in a band that's going on tour this fall doesn't mean you shouldn't show up to this drum lesson that you're doing for fun.
Yes.
You know?
Like, yes, exactly.
I want to go. My brain's like, this is a waste of time.
Yeah.
Don't go have fun. Mm-hmm. Fun is useless. You got to get paid. Like, this is not. Because that's like how perfectionism shows up now
for
me as like a full grown adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I really just was paying a man to be nice to me. And that's what it was. It was like, I was doing a good job, decent, and this guy would be like, oh, you're telling me you never played before. You are a natural. And I'd be like, thanks, Ulf.
Yeah.
And it was worth $30.
Yeah.
That's well worth $30.
No, so worth $30. He was so kind. And he wasn't like being, you know, he was telling me the truth. He was being a nice person. And then the next student would come in and they were 5 years old and they would close the door and be like,
and you're like, cymbals.
Yeah. Gong.
I love seeing a child shred on an instrument.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's the best.
It's crazy to see.
That is, you know, one saving grace of the current internet is that every now and then you get to see a child play an instrument really well.
Yeah, I mean, we've got those touches of the, you know, animal friendships, the child on drugs. Like, it's like every once in a while you're like, there it is.
There's why
this darkness settles over again.
Exactly.
My niece, like, kind of just recently turned the corner. She's 8 and she's been playing violin since she was 5. And last time I saw her, she played Katy Perry Roar from memory.
Whoa. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it has been kind of cool to see her go from like really awkwardly playing scales to now being like, oh, yeah, I got it. And she can just like play pop songs.
Cool.
The violin.
Holy shit.
That's cool.
It's putting the work in on that stuff. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's hard. I've been going back. Like, I was taking piano, like, pretty regularly, and I was not, like, getting good. But, you know, I was, like, starting to finally get it.
Yeah.
And then I took a fucking break, and now I'm trying again. I'm going back to, like, the beginning mm-hmm. of my class that I took, and it's like, ugh, it's so frustrating. It's so hard to keep in there as adults. Like, mm-hmm. it's just so much harder. And I hate that every time I lose any time, I have to go back. But it's like, with the life, with, like, the lifestyles we have, I'm like, I can't commit. All my time to this.
I do like learning things, though, and I like people that like learning things.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, me too. It feels so good.
Yeah.
Especially something like that. It's so mathematical, mm-hmm. and, like, it's your way from all the screens. It's, like, just here, you know.
Well, it's expression, but it's, like, ideally you can get to the point that it's expression, but it isn't, like, your livelihood, so it is nice to have, like, a second outlet.
But it is hard to not, like, try and be like, and then I'll, I'm like, no, just leave
incorporate
it
this and everything else. How could I make this?
Doesn't have to be part of this.
Well, we have scavenger brains because of our chosen profession. So.
Us and our dogs.
This and this. We're trying to make the hot dog chicken sandwich or whatever. That we talked about before, so everyone's going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I thought you were talking about the hot dog waffle that's been going around on Twitter with the paperclip.
Have you seen that video?
Seen that. Paperclip.
There's like this video where somebody showed there, and that I just noticed today, but somebody's like, paperclip, and then they like scrape the top layer of a hot dog off. Also, they use a bunch of different hot dogs instead of just turning one hot dog and scraping
is this,
all the-
is it like a, it's like a hack or something like
that? Yeah, it's like some chef's something.
Yeah.
And like, then they shred it. So it's like hot dog spaghetti. And then they put three eggs, scramble three eggs together. Then they put the hot dogs in there, and then they pour it into like a waffle maker, and it makes like a hot dog egg waffle.
Has ever sounded less appetizing.
Yeah, but the paperclip. They don't wash the paperclip. How? Ugh, it's disgusting to me that they're using a paper, a fucking paper. Do you even know where fucking paper clips? No. You don't.
Even I can't be down with the paper clip.
No.
No, I'm against
it. It starts and ends at the paper clip. Why not just use a fork? Well, because it's like the
you
the
want the shred
thickness
of it.
Of the
you need
the
it to be that thin.
It's like a little
You want like it's like a zoodles, but with a hot
right.
Dog.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Couldn't you just cut bologna with
does anyone really want to
just bologna? Cut bologna?
Couldn't you just
bologna
eat
is like a hot dog.
That isn't
so
like
could you cut bologna? Yeah.
Depression era, sad.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I understand we're basically in the Depression again. I'm not. I'm not trying to deny that, but that's not what that thing. I don't know.
Why can't you just shove a hot dog through a noodle maker? Just
do it
that way. Oh man,
that's how my grandma did it.
basically.
When I was a kid, we ate hot dog noodles.
I mean, meanwhile, I am just taking squash and using that to make noodles. When that's not sad.
It's delicious.
No, that's better.
It's delicious,
that's better.
Though.
It actually
that's
is
healthy.
Delicious.
Do I have another MySpace question?
Yes.
Sorry, we got that.
No, it's all right. We really got a lot out of that first
one. We did.
Yeah.
When and where, it says, were you the happiest? When and where were you the happiest?
Right now, talking to you guys.
Yeah. Hey. Hell yeah.
That's a lie, thank you.
No, I'm serious.
Fuck yeah.
I'm not lying.
That's very
Yeah. Thank you.
That's good presence. So you're a present person.
Yeah, man.
That's good.
That's the thing to be after.
That's the real thing. There's many times that I've been happy in my life, but right now, happiest.
Wow.
Fuck yeah.
Right here.
That's huge.
Aww.
I've had a pretty good day, even though like I've had serious doubts of bouts of sadness all day long.
Wow.
But like still like they're not as big as they used to be, which is cool.
Yeah.
You know? It still happens.
Because
I think that's like you know, we were talking about perfectionism. I think people feel like the goal is to never be sad. The goal is to not have thoughts. The goal is to not think anything bad, you know, and like that doesn't work. Like that's not what anybody it can achieve, you know, like Jesus had doubts. Like everybody has. And actually, if you have doubts, if you have fears, like that's actually a really great place to be, because if you get on the other side of that, then you learn things through it, you know, like having a crisis of faith or whatever is actually a really great place to be in, because you're actually looking and paying attention to what's going on in your life.
Totally. And definitely. I think also like fear especially feels physiologically the same as excitement, but your brain perceives it one way or the other. So sometimes you're just excited about something, but your brain like misinterprets that to mean you're necessarily scared, which you might just be feeling like excited energy. But your brain like has to create this fiction, like, oh, but what if something goes wrong? It's like, so if you can clear that out, then you're like, oh, yeah, of course.
Wait
I
a minute,
have.
I'm just excited about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, we think so much about how our brains do not run the show. They interpret the show.
Exactly.
Like our bodies, and our environment is way more in, not, I don't want to say control, but like they do way more than our brains are just like phones, you know, like they're just like interpreting what's going on.
Yeah, that's
and making really good guesses and bad guesses a lot.
Yeah,
pretty bad guesses early on there.
Yeah, they're wrong a lot about things.
Wrong a lot.
And I'm like, oh no, that's
keeps
not.
Keeps trying though.
Yeah, exactly.
Keeps going back to the piano class.
Well, but we feed it like garbage a lot too, so can you really blame it for being wrong?
Hot dog noodles.
Exactly. Our brains kind of just look like a bunch of hot dog noodles pressed together. So.
Yeah. They have the consistency of a pad of butter on a table. Did you know that? Our brains?
Really?
Really?
Like that's like the consistency.
Like,
of
so
it.
A little soft?
Yeah. Like how long out of the fridge are we talking,
like, just
butter-wise?
On, I think, you know, San Diego morning.
Okay.
So we're talking like 68 degrees.
Ooh, okay.
Low humidity. And just been out on the table, a room temperature butter.
Wow.
You're kind of making a brain sound delicious.
It's pretty good. Have you ever seen the movie Hannibal? Give it a shot.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that in the theater.
Yeah.
True story.
True story.
So was Jodie Foster in the Animal?
No, Julianne Moore.
Okay, well that's not a bad second. That's kind of
but you can't. I mean, look, Starling. Man, you can't replace Jodie Foster.
No,
just don't. You just don't make the movie.
No.
I mean, that's
she's not gonna.
Well, it's kind of like how Michelle Pfeiffer was Sandy in Grease too. It's like it's not Olivia Newton-John, but it's not Michelle Pfeiffer. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Great point.
It's not Michelle Pfeiffer.
That's true.
That is accurate. That's incredibly accurate.
Yeah. True statement.
Christopher McDonald is so good in that movie.
So
I
good.
I fucking love that guy.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's
my
favorite.
He crushes
it. And not for Happy Gilmore even at all, although he's good in that. But that's not even... I like him from Chances Are.
Ooh, what's Chances Are?
Thelma and Louise. Chances Are is a movie from like 1990, somewhere around there. It stars Christopher McDonald, as we said, Robert Downey Jr., Sybil Shepherd, Paul O'Neill, and Mary Stuart Masterson. She is the one that, Mary Stuart Masterson. It is look at that cast.
That's a great cast. It's a real good cast.
Christopher McDonald is married to Sybil Shepherd in the, I don't know, 60s, chances are, right?
Oh, whoa.
They get married.
Yeah.
He gets hit by a car and dies. And he is reincarnated into Robert Downey Jr.
Whoa.
And there's like a mix up.
Upgrade.
Yeah.
You know those like all those movies about like, oh, there's a mix up, heaven did it wrong or whatever?
Yeah.
Because they are supposed to like reincarnate like you but knock you out and you don't remember.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He remembers. And so then Robert Downey Jr. like ages up, falls in love with a woman. Mm-hmm. It is the daughter of Christopher McDonald and Sybil Shepherd. Paul O'Neill is like the friend that's been around the whole time. You know, it's probably pretty bad, but I remember loving it as a child.
But he falls in love with her. That's kind of creepy.
Well, he's done this. He's gone to like psychotherapy to like not very similar to Heart and Soul.
Right.
I loved that movie.
You know,
I got a call back to be in that movie.
No fucking way.
Whoa,
yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah, I forget what the character was.
I'm starstruck right now.
Yeah, there must have been a little girl character that was like friends with a little boy or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got a call back to be in
that movie.
Holy
shit, dude.
Though. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I love that movie.
That was a great movie.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
The 80s were, it was like the 80s and the early 90s, we were really into babysitters and dead people.
Yes.
And they were like, let's combine them. Yeah. For the best
movie
ever.
Not tell our mom about it.
Absolutely not. Never trust the parents. That was the lesson.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Never trust the parents.
Exactly.
All right, let's see. Let's do one more.
I got one more. What is your most treasured possession?
Oh, shit.
Ooh.
That's a really hard one to answer for me because I'm a hoarder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
So we could probably just talk about that part instead of the treasured...
Let's get into it.
Because I have so many.
Yeah.
Because I'm a hoarder and I'm like a little raccoon raven kind of a thing.
I got a real theory that the Brave Little Toaster like fucked up our generation on hoarding because it anthropomorphized too many things for us.
Oh, wow.
I genuinely will feel guilt throwing things away sometimes and have to be like, that toaster isn't a person. And then I take it to Goodwill and I have to drive away.
Say goodbye.
Do you think that's what it is for you to get emotionally attached to objects?
I do, but not for that same reason.
Okay.
Although I relate because I think... Who Framed Roger Rabbit had a hard, like a huge impact on my being a vegetarian, because I even got sad when he like puts the shoe.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it's a shoe. It's not even
a traumatic moment.
It is very traumatic.
Yeah.
For me, mine, it was Babe.
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine is more that my family did that. Mm. So like I was raised in that.
Mm.
And then it just was like, just a mode of operation,
mm-hmm.
you know? But it's really like, oh, I need to have like a museum of myself,
mm-hmm.
so that when I meet people, I can just go, look at the things.
That's
this is me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
which is adorable when you're like 12. And mm-hmm. then when you're in your 30s, like you kind of got to get rid of some shit. Like yeah. I gave away so many shirts to Goodwill, and I can't believe, I mean, I like finally got to a place in my life that I could do it. I had shirts that I've had for like 15 years that are just like blank shirts mm-hmm. that don't fit me
yeah.
that I think I was keeping because I was like, but they're broken in so well though.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like,
yeah, yeah.
We really, my the brain, hoops we go through.
Oh, yeah.
It's mm-hmm.
Like
crazy.
I said, this thing is an interpreter. It is not running the show
because yeah.
it comes up with great ideas like, well, this is the first American Apparel shirt you ever bought. So you should probably keep that because they're going to come to you one day and want to talk to you about it. Like, this is,
yeah.
So I just have worked on that a lot and gotten rid of a lot of those things. But this is my most, I'll answer it with this, which is, I think that I lost something and I'm pretty bummed about it, but also it just is what it is. Yeah. I had this really cool West Virginia belt buckle that was my grandfather's and it was, I just got like, I say this very lovingly, when he died, I got like Ziploc gallon baggies full of junk.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
it was stuff I'd never seen of his before. It's not like,
yeah.
oh, these are these things that I, and also I'm not like looking a gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
mouth. I'm just like, where did this shit come from? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I didn't even know he had all this stuff. Like,
well, here's Rhea's drawer.
Yeah, yeah, it was very strange. So I went through some of it and, mm-hmm. you know, kept some of the other things. But I really loved that belt buckle.
Mm.
And I did find one on eBay and it was like 30, because that's, it's not the same if it's not his, but I think I just like misplaced it in moving or something. And like,
oh, gotcha.
It's very cool, but now it's like $60 on eBay. And I'm like, I don't know if it's worth it to replace this thing. Cause I do also know
if it's
not
his, it's like,
yeah, it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
If it was $30 and I replaced it, I'd be like, whatever. I don't know.
How long have you been thinking about it?
Since I like went through my whole house and was like, oh, it's gone.
So like over a week?
Like a year.
Buy the belt buckle, dude. Just buy it. You'll feel so much better.
Yeah.
If this was like an impulse that you were thinking about today over like too much coffee, I'd be like, yeah,
oh, yeah,
it.
No. No, right. On and off. It's not like it's been my every
right,
waking
right.
thought.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Like, I think about it. I also just think, I think more about, I'm like, how could I have lost it though?
Because
I was wearing it a lot.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess that's
so
how I lost it.
So weird when shit like that gets lost.
I know.
Yeah.
And that's also my hoarder impulse because I'm like, you have to have a backup because if you use it, you will lose it.
Yes.
And then I'm like, I've got too much shit because I'm like, I don't ever use any of it and I've got two of everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I know.
I can feel that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Those like unexplained losses make me like, I don't have OCD, but it gives me like that tendency of like having to double check a bunch of times that I have something. Cause I have lost things where it's like, I have no rational explanation for where they went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? You just feel like there's a black hole in your house.
Yes.
Yeah. I have like a Beastie Boys, like License to Ill original, like sweatshirt. No idea where the fuck that went.
Oh,
and
yeah.
a fucking Tenacious D shirt that Jack Black signed. And like both of those, I'm like, how the fuck could I have lost
Boyfriend.
It? Like my prized possession. I may, who knows? But it's just like, so frustrating.
I always just try to think like it's a lesson in non-attachment.
Yeah, of course.
That's a great, great way to think about it. For
you
sure.
know?
I like to think there's a raccoon living under my house.
Yeah.
That's got a sick ass.
There's definitely a raccoon
pad.
Living underneath my house for sure.
Oh,
yeah.
With a cool
belt buckle. There's possums living under
my husband can give you tips on humane trapping. It'd be
great.
And they come out and they're wearing my shirt. I'm like, God damn it.
I also love Tenacious D.
All right, guys. We'll be right back.
Wait.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Rhea Butcher.
What's up?
I saw someone like complaining about a podcast where it was like, say your names. I was like, we do it all the time.
Yeah.
We got that checked for us.
Mm-hmm. We are professionals. Boise Guide Idaho this weekend. If you want to learn how to say your name into a microphone and every
episode. Say your name. Number one, say your name, kid. So we're going to do Lady Problem. If you have one, write to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Here we go. Hi, ladies. Long-time listener, first time emailing. I just went with my boyfriend's siblings, mom, and mom's husband on a much-needed vacation. Mom has terminal cancer, so she wanted to do one last trip to her homeland. Her husband was supposed to go later in the trip, and we were supposed to go in the beginning, but when we showed up at the airport ready to board, he showed up too. Throughout the trip, he kept having side conversations with my boyfriend's mom and being super weird and not really letting her be alone. On the last day, I spent some alone time with my boyfriend's mom, and she told me she's thinking of leaving her husband because there's been some emotional cheating going on by him. She said she's extremely scared to die alone, which makes any advice super tough to give. Ladies, the question is, do I need to say anything else? How involved should I be with this issue? We've only been dating a few years, but I love them like they're my own, and I just can't stand to see his mom controlled by her Trump-loving sack of shit husband. Mm. Any and all advice is greatly appreciated. Oh, my God.
Ooh. Oh boy.
Who's going first?
I mean, if you have thoughts, I'm processing.
I do. I mean, I do. My thoughts are simply this, like, there's actually nothing you can do except be there for this person. Mm-hmm. If you care about them and also you care about your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Especially if like you're thinking about being a part of this family by like marrying this person.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing you can do is say like, I'm always here for you to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
But giving unsolicited advice and even giving advice is typically bad. Mm-hmm. I think, especially in a scenario like this, that like, because you're, to put it in like really blunt term, you're like on record saying things, and it's very easy for that to turn into like, well, you said this, and then it just becomes all this triangulation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like the only thing you can really do is like be there for somebody as a person and then not take it to your boyfriend and be like, oh, your mom said all this stuff to me. What's going on? Like, mm-hmm. you just have to go like, okay, all right. Okay. How can I like help this person? Mm-hmm. And by help them like go like, hey, can I get you something to drink? Or like, do you need some water? Or like, mm-hmm. what do you want to do on this trip? Or whatever it is, you know, like showing up for them as opposed to like telling them what you think they should do. Cause this guy's XYZ or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. God, I really, this thing of like people being with controlling people is really, really tough. Yeah. Cause you really don't have any, you kind of just have to like hope that they figure it out themselves. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally. Because like you also teach people how to treat you. And that's not to say that anybody deserves to be treated badly, but like you can't rescue her out of the thing. Like, and you also aren't in the thing. Like you're seeing it from the outside. So you have no idea what's actually going on.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I will say this for him too, because who knows, like losing a spouse at end of life, people do a lot of weird shit and react to death in a lot of weird ways, you know? So like, that's not like an excuse or like, you know, for whatever he's doing, but like, could it, like, I don't know. That's like a thing between them they need to kind of work out. But like, if he is like talking to someone emotionally, like who knows if that's like a one-time thing or like what that is, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, I mean, I do feel like fuck this guy.
Okay.
I do feel like fuck this guy. Like, I mean, I don't think that
from the information we've been given.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just like, I hate hearing, especially men when they're being controlling and weird with people. I'm just like, fuck you.
Okay.
You know? But yeah. I don't think that there's much she can do to get this guy out of her, we'll say, mother-in-law's life.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, but maybe there is something too, because it sounds like, I mean, the idea of her staying with someone potentially, you know, manipulative or abusive because she's scared to die alone. Maybe one thing you can do as like a friend is maybe offer things that may cultivate a sense of like presence and value in herself. You know, just because she's sick doesn't mean she doesn't deserve to be happy.
No.
Oh, for sure.
No,
for the rest
not.
Of her life.
And so also not. She's not alone. She's just, that's a specific type of being alone.
Yeah.
But like she has people, and that's why you like to show up for somebody.
Exactly.
To like help them feel a little less alone and not like tell them, hey, you're not alone, because it's like that's you can't like talk somebody out of their feelings or whatever. But
yeah it's like a lack of like a romantic partner potentially, but like does she have like communities that she's involved in? Like this is stuff where like if she's involved in like a church, this is like when a church steps up in a good way for people a lot of the time, like if you are religious, you know, or like, you know, she's a bowling league, like you know, have them come and like see her like once a week or something. You know, it's like, yeah, it's your life is more than just your romantic relationship.
Yeah, I feel like the fact that this lady confided in her means that she is kind of trying to reach out to people. So I think that's the thing you have the most capability to do is like maybe text her more often. Not about
see how she's doing.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like obviously the first step of someone getting out of a shitty relationship is like that is like acknowledging to other people what's going on. And yeah, you can't tell her what to do. You can't give her any advice, but you can, just listen and be there and kind of feel like it's okay for her to express herself finally, you know?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't talk to the boyfriend. I don't really think that's your place to say anything.
Yeah.
No.
You know?
He's got a lot on his mind already.
Yeah. But I just feel so badly for both, you know, for everybody in this, except for the dad. Like, I can't imagine being faced with that. It's like, it's gotta be such a weird feeling as the mom, because it's like, you're like, facing your mortality, but then also just being like, can I take care of this thing first?
Sure,
Can I not be with this asshole when it happens?
That's
I mean, it would be
what a weird feeling.
To me, it's like so much worse to be with somebody that you're like, I am only with this person because I don't want to be alone. Yay. You know
but
what I mean?
But that's like how, I mean,
I don't
that's
judge.
How like,
I'm just saying,
so
like,
many relationships exist for that
for
reason.
Sure.
You know?
For sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, it's really hard. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope that this mom, I hope the mom gets out. That's all. Yeah.
Yeah. Plan another trip.
Yeah, there you
just
go.
Just a secret surprise trip. Just book your guys' tickets and then set the house on fire.
Build a Lincoln Logs house.
Yeah.
Set it on fire.
Yeah, I would see like if you can get her girlfriends together and like get a girls' trip or something like that.
Yeah.
So she can just be away from him and like really be around some women. You know, it sounds like that's what she kind of needs. So if you have any ability, I know that may be weird to suggest your mother-in-law, but she could really love that, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I think that would be good.
Everyone just stop being assholes.
If you're an
then
asshole,
we wouldn't have any
that.
Podcasts.
That's so true.
That's so fucking true.
We don't have any lady problems to answer.
We wouldn't have anything.
Okay, well, so this is an update from our last week's lady problem, which was basically, you know, a listener wrote in about her pretty shitty husband.
Pretty shitty husband who kept threatening to leave her over and over again over all sorts of little things, and she was doing everything to please him, and he wasn't meeting her.
Yeah.
Even 20% of the way.
Right.
Yeah.
So we had like a really strong response to that. A lot of people in the group on Facebook were talking about how that like basically their last... We have quite a few people be like, this was like my last relationship, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
One woman said like, we had a child together. I still got out and I'm like so happy I did. Most people who responded to it who had been like past it.
Yeah.
You know, which is obviously so much easier than when you're fucking in it to talk about. And then, we had one person write in and tell us they were thinking about leaving their husband after hearing it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It really like... unlocked something for them to be like, to hear it through somebody else's story was like, oh shit, that's what's happening to me too. And like when you're hearing somebody else say it, you're like, yeah, girl, leave. And you're like, oh fuck, that's actually me.
That's my story.
So
I can't imagine.
So
thank you to, you know, everybody for being like vulnerable enough to share with us what's going on with you, and also just like you know, I'm not trying to advertise the Facebook group, but this community of like listeners is really amazing. And when everybody kind of bonds over something like that, it's
yeah, absolutely. Cool. It's the power of lady problems bringing people together. So no big deal.
It's never too late to dump him, is what we're saying.
Yeah. It truly isn't.
It actually truly isn't. And I think that's a great thing for everyone to always keep in
mind. It's never too late to do anything.
No.
Right.
But specifically to dump him.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Never too late.
Yeah. Everything.
Our usual motto is dump him, but I like it's never too late to dump him.
Dump.
Yeah. Well, and shit's temporary too. You know, I mean, everything in life is temporary. So
everything.
It's like,
we're temporary.
Yeah, exactly. So even like, it might seem like it's going to be hard, but you will get through it. And then there's more after that.
Yeah. Think of all the other hard stuff you've done in your life. You got through that too.
Absolutely.
There's always a back door.
Yeah, definitely. Hardship gives you perspective on stuff too. And it makes you more powerful when other hard shit comes down the line as well. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, definitely. It's helped quite a bit.
All right, we'll do one more lady problem. Hello, ladies. I love your show, and the lady problem segment helps me fill my gossip quota for the week. I've got a boy problem. My partner and I have been together for a couple of years now. We met my sophomore year of college and are planning on staying together after graduation this year. Only that's the problem. His financial aid was completely cut and he won't be able to graduate with me. He's a smart guy but has trouble pinning down what he wants to do, and the inability to graduate hasn't helped. He feels like he's wasting his time trying to get his degree and now has no idea what he's supposed to do with his life. He's not even sure that he wants to go back to school. He's not even sure that he's going to want to go back to school once he has the money 2 years from now. He has had a really hard life, and I want him to be able to find something that makes him happy, even if that isn't degree related. He's also a little bit jealous of me because I found a quote calling. Not in a malicious way, but I can just tell. What can I do to make it seem like less like his life is just nothing now that he can't follow his dreams? I want to support him, but I don't know how.
He can follow his dreams.
Yeah.
I mean,
what did you say? He can't.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know what you said.
He can.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need a degree to.
Also, you can't
that.
Make a person follow their dreams.
No.
You absolutely can't.
And if that's already started, that like if there's actual evidence that he's like resenting you for where you're at, then like that's just a bad. It's just a bad moment. And maybe when you don't hate each other is a good time to be like, hey. Yeah. Maybe we need to figure some stuff out. Because they're in college, that's very young.
Yeah, I mean, as young.
That is great advice to bone out before you hate each other.
Yeah.
That's awesome
be like,
advice.
I think I need some time to like do this thing and, you know, whatever.
Well, and also like there's two ways that we have to live in this world. You either like find something that you like live to do for a living, or you find a job that you work to make the living that you want, basically. And both things are perfectly equally valid. You know, not everybody needs to have like a passion or a calling that like they are doing, they want their life to be this thing. Like it's perfectly fine to have like a job that you make money to do passions outside of it.
I think everyone does have a calling. It's just maybe that calling doesn't manifest in a
work.
Traditional work way.
Of
but
course, yeah.
You need people need to do the work to find their calling.
Yeah.
And that's something that you can only do for yourself. And it's really easy to blame external things and external setbacks as to, I guess I'm fated.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
Yeah.
I'm the one person who doesn't get to do anything cool with my life.
Yeah.
I don't think everyone has one, though.
I
personally
absolutely think everyone has a reason to be here. You don't?
There's plenty of people I've met who fucking have nothing going on.
I think they didn't find it. Yeah. I think they didn't find it. I think everyone has a purpose for being here.
Oh, I don't.
I think everyone is given a purpose to be here, and I don't know that every person is able to understand that.
That's what I think.
You know, like
right.
Like there's every person on this planet is like a creative living being. And just not everybody can or will do that. You know,
I don't feel the same way. I mean, there's just so many people I've met who like it's like nothing, and I don't feel like it's that they didn't but it's not that they didn't find it, so it's not there.
I totally disagree. I think some people your purpose might be to like be a family member or be a partner. I mean, some I think everyone has a different purpose, but I think that absolutely every living thing has a purpose.
Yeah,
I think because when I say like creative,
I'm not trying to be mean. I just know so many people who I don't think it's not, and I'm not saying it's bad that they didn't find it, but I don't think they're they just have a specific thing. It's just they're here. And that's it. You know? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe their purpose is to be nice to baristas every time they get coffee. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it can just be that simple.
Yeah.
Embarrassing dad jokes. That's somebody's purpose out there.
Well, because you also find people that, and again, this gets back to the perception thing, but you encounter people who, like, take pride in something that I think someone else could be in that position and take no pride in what they do. But then you know, you find someone who, like, you find run into baristas that just clearly love being a barista.
They crush it,
and they make the decision for whatever reason, they really enjoy that and they take pride in it. And it, not that necessarily their purpose is to be a barista, but I think that person has aligned with, like, their presence in their own existence in a way that they, like, find joy in what they do.
Right.
Also, you don't have to, like, I mean, I don't. We don't know these people. We just know the one side of the thing, and we don't know these people. We don't know if the things he's saying are, like, at night and it's big and it's this, or it's just like, oh, I don't know if this is my path. Because it's, like, legit that, like, you your financial aid falls out. It's going to take you 2 more years to go back. Yeah, yeah, that's, a legit thing to maybe go, like, I don't know if I want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, and it's a lot of time to wait. And that's, like, you got to go do something else in that time. So,
well,
like,
there's so much pressure when you're in college to be like, and this is the thing that will be, you know. Yeah. And it's just such bullshit.
And it's also so much pressure to go to college.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. Well, and I found, like, I mean, it's, we've all had so many weird jobs too that, like, they all weirdly have informed where I'm at this point in my life too. So it's like, I think if you take something, take a lesson from whatever you do, like, it's not wasted time doing something that isn't even necessarily ultimately your calling, but it is like a, oh, okay, well, there's something from this that, like, has made me wiser in some way that I take on to the
next
thing.
You find out shit you're not good at or don't want to do. And that's the best, when you're like, oh, thank God, that's not my thing, and I'm glad it's not.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that letter is from a person who doesn't want to be with that person anymore.
I think so too.
Not like, and not in a malicious way. I think that person is just noticing and going, like, but I'm not like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then going, like, well, he resents me for this. You might feel like you don't fit with him anymore because you are like this. You know, like, it might just be like, oh, this isn't really the relationship dynamic that I want to be in. Like, I want
to,
you know.
Yeah, to even,
this isn't my path with you anymore.
Because to vocalize that your partner resents you is, like, actually pretty serious. Because, I mean, are you really going to have a good partnership with someone who resents you? I mean, if that person isn't,
growing.
Yeah, if she says there's no evidence, she's like, but I know. And that's, like, a lot of intuiting the way somebody else feels about you, which typically is the way you feel about them.
Yeah.
I've noticed.
Yeah.
You tend to be saying, like, oh, well, I'm noticing this thing. But it's like, maybe you are, like, not feeling like you fit with that person anymore because of his questioning and stuff. And that's, like, a legit thing. It doesn't mean you think he's anything. It's just, like, I'm on this path and that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So, like, if you want to be around for that, great. But if you're just going to be confused and wondering all the time, like, maybe that's not the right fit for her.
And also, they're, like, what, 22? So maybe that's, they had plans to move in together. People make plans to move in together and they don't move in together all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that big of, it's all good. You're young.
Yeah.
You're going to bounce back.
There are
this.
Literally millions of people out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's dating apps and shit now.
Yeah.
I know, but that's never the thing you want to hear when you're, like, in a relationship.
I'm just, I'm kidding.
Totally.
I never used one.
There's a lot more people who you're going to fail with. Just let him keep failing at stuff he's trying to do, and you can, you know, find the relationship side of it.
And also, who knows? I'm not advocating, like, breakup, but just, like, do that little self-reflection and wonder if that's, if this is the relationship you want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it sounds kind of like it's not.
And, like, maybe make a list of the, if you want to go the opposite way, like, make a list of the ways that you feel that he's helping you on your trajectory.
Yeah.
And notice how long that list is. And if it is a lot of things, maybe you do consider staying with him. But if you're not able to, like, articulate the ways in which he's helping you achieve your path, cut him away.
Yeah, that's like
snip,
a
snip test worker.
It's a very specific dynamic. Somebody that's like, I know what I want to do, and a person that doesn't, and there it's a very hard one to meet.
Oh yeah,
with him.
yeah. And it's easy to be impatient when you're the one that knows what to do. It's really easy to be impatient with the other person too. I think resentment can build that way too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, for sure, definitely.
But good luck. It sounds like you got your shit together, so that's great. Congrats.
Sounds like she's on the right path.
Yeah.
Congratulations, doctor.
Yeah, again, if you have a lady problem, write to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com and we'll talk about it. That's the show. Rhea, do you want to tell everybody going on the road soon?
Sure, yeah. I got my phone all pulled up and everything. On this here March. It's Ooh. March now.
Yeah,
it is. You know? It is.
I'll be in Kansas City in Missouri on the 12th of March. That's at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. Then the next night, which is Friday the 13th of March, I'll be at Duet Jazz in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And then the next night after that, Saturday, March 14th, I'll be at the Waiting Room in Omaha, Nebraska. And then I'm also doing a live recording of my podcast, Three Swings, in D.C. on Saturday, March 28th at 5:45, I believe, is the start time.
Oh, awesome.
Can tell people what your podcast is about a little bit?
Sure. It's a podcast about baseball and other things. So please don't be put off by the baseball thing. I usually start out the beginning of my podcast talking about literally other shit.
Yeah.
So come there. I have had so many people come up to me at shows and stuff and say, like, I hate baseball, but I listen to your podcast. So give it a shot. It's a great endorsement.
It is. That's the same pitch we give guys about our show.
Yeah. I hate women,
but I listen to your show. Yeah. So yeah, give it a shot. I just like talk about, you know, thoughts, feelings, whatever. Nice. And then also occasionally talk about baseball. And then I'll be at the Improv in San Antonio, Texas on April 22nd. I know this is kind of far from there, but that's another one.
Oh, you got to go. Is the Improv in that cool area that has the indoor water?
I don't know. I've never been to San Antonio.
Okay. I'm pretty sure the Improv is in here, but if not, you still got to go to this area. There's like this indoor river inside of an outdoor shopping mall.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
You're going to get there and you're going to know exactly what I'm going to talk about. You're going to be so glad I told you about this.
Yeah.
There's a boat you can ride through the shopping mall.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What a dream.
You've got to send a picture of yourself when you make it.
I will. I will. I'll also be at the Bell House in Brooklyn on May 30th and Arts of the Armory, Somerville, Massachusetts on the 31st of May.
Hell yeah.
That's it. Thanks for letting me say all those dates.
Of course. Go see Rhea on the road. And yeah, again, if you're in Boise. I'm going to say it wrong every time.
Boise.
Now I'm making it worse.
You are.
Boise.
Boise. this weekend, March 7th and 8th, we'll be there doing stuff. So come check us out.
Go to that.
The Lounge at the End of the Universe.
Yeah. Good name.
I love that. All the tickets are on my website.
Perfect.
What's your website?
RheaButcher.com. RheaButcherGer.com.
To remember.
Easy peasy.
All right, we're gonna go top secret session it up, you guys.
Here are all my hot travel tips.
Hot goss.
Oh yeah, I forgot we were doing your travel tips.
It's not. I don't want to give it away though. Oh, anyway, no. Come see us over there.
It's an exclusive travel tip. Patreon.com/ladytolady. All right, bye.
Exclusive.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcast, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker, for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.